all of us. You await our reunion through Jesus Christ, our greatest intercessor, our greatest advocate, our loving Father as well. We thank you, though we don't understand all the triunity of God, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that it's all you. And you manifest yourself to us in so many various ways, as we've heard today in the testimonies of everyone who experienced that peace this week, even in the midst of the storm. There's nowhere else to run. As David said, there's nowhere to hide. You're in sovereign control of all things, and whether we come on board or not, it will come to pass. Right. So you command us to be still and know that you are God. Not as the world do you give us peace. You give us the peace that transcends it, meaning we don't even understand it. It's just something that we receive because we rest in you. So I speak rest to the people of God. I come against busyness in the life of all of those who are struggling to make ends meet or struggling to achieve what they think may be righteousness before God, but just to rest and receive from God, for He has everything that you need. And right now, that's exactly what I need, God. They don't need to hear from Pastor Scott. They need to hear from Scripture, from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our best teacher to bring us the Word of God and bind it to our hearts so that we actually experience that peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We're studying spiritual warfare, which leads to prayer. We put on our armor. We put ourselves in position to be protected and provided by God and to be given all of what we need to allow the anointing that was given to us when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be expressed through us. We're completely yielded, and therefore God can use us. So we wear this armor so that when we go out and experience kind of what we heard this morning from Jeremy and others, that we're unintimidated, that we know that it's Jesus that is touching that person, it's Jesus that's showing His love, that it's Jesus, and Jesus is responsible for the results, not us. We show up, and we be who God created us to be. So we're studying how to do that. How do we take what Jesus put in us, righteousness, peace, joy, and it abides in us. He says it abides in us. How do we experience it? How do we put it on and exercise the very things Jesus by faith has given us? How do we do our part? Ephesians 6, 13 to 15. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, all of it, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm under attack, if you will. Stand firm, he says again, reiterates, anytime God wants to make a point, he'll do it twice. Stand firm, therefore, having done this, our part, girded your loins with truth. And we've already talked about that, how that was the central place where all the armor attaches to. Without truth, without the Word of God, it doesn't matter. That's the only thing that will last. It's forever settled in heaven. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means we, remember, we were imputed righteousness. Jesus gets that for us when we have our faith, and it sits within us, and we're considered and positioned righteous. Now it's time to put it on and go exercise the very things that God has placed within us to do. But we move to the next piece of armor. Verse 15. Having done that, and we're working on that on a daily basis, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do you know the word gospel means good news? There's good news. God has given you and imparted to you peace. Not as the world gives, He's given you His supernatural peace. You may not be experiencing it because you're not putting it on, but it's there and it's available for you. We've talked about truth. We've talked about righteousness being part of our preparation for resisting against evil. And today we're going to discuss shodding our feet with this preparation of what he says is the gospel of peace. Jesus in John 14, 27 puts it this way. Peace I leave with you. He is peace, but he didn't leave us unprepared. Remember, he said he wasn't going to leave us as orphans? He wasn't going to leave us in our own strength and in our own righteousness because it couldn't get it done before. So he would give us back of his spirit, and included in that spirit is his peace. And it's not like the world gives you. Like when you go take a drug or you go and get happy on a glass of wine or whatever it is you do. It's not that kind of peace because that leads to nowhere. Do not let your hearts be troubled or let it be fearful, because the supernatural God of peace exists, moves, and has his being, if you allow him to, working through you. Well, that scripture right there that says we should be experiencing his peace seems pretty easy enough to understand because we can all read it, right? But a whole lot harder to implement in our lives. Amen? Whole lot harder to put on peace in the midst of those circumstances, even though he tells us and commands us to do so. Satan is out to destroy this peace in our hearts by causing us to do what? Doubt and fret so that we are in the turmoil of our soul. See, God's got our spirit. But Satan's playing with your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions that have been trained for so many years before the Spirit of Christ came in, and you're so used to doing things a certain way. He is doing everything he can to stir you up in a manner in which your soul becomes more like his. Can't touch your spirit, man. Your property, God's property. And he's got everything in there, and he's just sitting there waiting for you to speak to the mountain. He's just sitting there waiting for you to exercise his peace. He's sitting there waiting for you to exercise righteousness by a choice of your human will, which he gave you. But he's also giving you the ability now through the power of the Holy Spirit to get her done. And it does not happen passively. We participate with God. We're his co-laborers in the kingdom. Satan wants to give you turmoil. Paul tells us that we prepare for this spiritual attack because, when you're a Christian, it seems like all hell breaks loose and you're attacked a whole lot more when you're a Christian than when you're not. Paul says we need to prepare for this spiritual attack, and it will come. By what? Walking in the gospel. That's why shoes, right? We're walking in the gospel, or the good news of peace. We're actually walking in what God said he's put within us. We're trusting him. There are two kinds of peace spoken of in the New Testament. Peace with God and the peace of God. You need to get that today because that's the focus of this message. Two kinds of peace God gives us. The peace with God and the peace of God, and both are necessary. Let's talk about peace with God first. This is pretty easy. The word gospel, as I said, means good news. The gospel of peace is simply the good news of peace. So folks, what it's saying is the war is ended over our soul when we come to Christ. You were at war with God when you were born. You were born with a human nature opposed to God. Whether you know that or not, because of Adam's sin in the garden, as we talked about earlier, and that's transferred to all human beings, we're born into sin. We're at war with God, at enmity with God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ who ends that, right? We have to accept him in our heart by faith. Otherwise, we're heathen. We're apart from God. And we're at war with God. And we exhibit that war through all of our actions. And you know what those actions are. Bitterness and rejection and all those things that we do. And murder and stealing and killing. And, you know, it's where all the commandments come in and all the others. The good news is that we're no longer enemies of God. We know who he is. You see, we're at war with God. We were at war with God, but Christ, through his death on the cross, has made peace available for those who choose to put their faith in Christ. And guess what happens? You're no longer at war with God, but now you're at war with who? Satan. You were part of Satan's family, you're now part of... You were on the losing side, but you're now on... This is knowledge. This is what you have to get into your spirit, man. This is what you have to trust by faith. Because of what Christ has done and because of the testimonies of all of that, bearing the witness to the truth. Even at the loss of your own life, bearing witness. That's the word martus. Martus means witness. It means dying to self. It means living for him. It means doing what Jeremy did, irregardless of what it may, he may look like a fool, or he may sound like an idiot, or he may look strange to people. It doesn't matter. I crucify myself and I do what God just told me to do. And I bear fruit. Peace with God comes because Jesus Christ has made peace with the Father for us. Yes. Romans 5:1. This is peace with God. Therefore, having been justified, saved, going to heaven by faith, we have peace with God. He gives it to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Namely, that God was in Christ. Incarnate. God incarnate in Christ. That's why we get Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Christ is God. God in Christ reconciling the world. That's us to Himself. Not counting our trespasses, our sins against us. And He's committed to us. This word of reconciliation, once we get it, it's our responsibility to share it with the world. They're going to see Jesus through us because He's at the right hand of the Father. And He's given us His Spirit to represent Him well. Colossians 1, 18 to 22. He is also head of the body. Whose body is He talking about? All of us. We're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of this body. He's in charge. He's got the exousia. He's got the dunamis. What does that mean? The authority and the power conferred upon us by giving us of His Holy Spirit. He's charged us to represent heaven, God's nature, God's character. That's why we have the Ten Commandments. That's why we have all these things. Without them, we wouldn't have any parameters. We wouldn't know what to do. It's His righteousness. Remember the Ten Commandments? They were a way to righteousness. We couldn't do it. Because you can't do it in our own name and nature. But when we got His nature, the commandments are easy. Because Christ lives in us, moves and has His being, and they're just done out of our love for Him. Because He's the head of our body. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He resurrected. So that He Himself will come to have what? First place in everything. What does that mean? He's given you eternal life. You've been raised from the dead. Literally. And so He needs to be given first place. No matter what you do in life, nothing becomes more important than Him. That's right. Because He's got your eternal destiny right here in the palm of His hand. You are the apple of His eye. He loves you and He wants you to represent Him well like any father would. He gets proud in a good proud way when he sees his sons and daughters functioning in Him. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness to dwell in Him. It was His good pleasure for Jesus to come and represent Him so well that He was obedient unto death and showed us the way, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. If you look at the life of Jesus, He covers everything from peace to joy to love. We represent Him. We do what He does, and you're not going to have a care in the world. Because through Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Jesus was our mediator, our umpire. He was the one who reconciled us to the Father. Not our own stuff, not our own works, not our own righteousness. Having made peace. How did we make peace with God? We were at war with God. How was peace made? Through the blood of the cross. Yes. Through Him, Jesus. I say whether things on the earth or things in heaven, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to peace everlasting. And although you were formerly alienated, and that's where I didn't just get this out of some air here. You were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds when you came into this world. Even though you're a baby, you didn't know any better. You're born into it. Yet He who has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to do what? Because Jesus died, He's able to present you and me before Him, Father, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Do you understand your position? Whether you act like it or not, your position is holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. So when you stand before and go, God, when did you ever see me like that? I saw it when you went and you fed the poor. I saw it when you went and gave somebody a drink. I saw it when you were kind and you went to the man and you gave him a real bear hug instead of a little hug. That's when I saw you, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. So basically, peace with God has already been accomplished for you. How about that part? You don't have to do anything. Through Christ, when you believe, His peace comes into your spirit. And it's available to you, your soul, just like righteousness. It's available. It's there. You're declared it. You're given everything you need. This is where we must now, in the second part, put on the peace of God. See, we have peace with God because of Jesus. We don't have to do anything for that. But there's a second part of this where God calls us to, and this is that we must put on the peace of God that has been given to us. He's given us to wear it, but we got to wear it. We've got to put it on now that we have peace with God. So putting on the peace of God enables us to stand apart from the world on firm footing. That's why He can say it's not as the world gives. It may be crumbling around you, but there's going to be this kind of peace inside of you that's going to come upon you because of your relationship with me and walking in that sanctification process that's going to blow your mind beyond your understanding. there's going to be a peace you're going to have that you'll only ever experience by putting it on, by getting into what God has already given you. We now want to experience, right? That's the bottom line. We all know about peace. We have peace with God. We're supposed to put it on. But the bottom line of today's discussion is we now want to experience His peace. I don't know about the rest of you. There's times I have real trouble experiencing His peace. I have trouble putting on. So if I got trouble putting on my clothes, what do you got to do? Ask for help. Ask for help. God, I need your help. I need brothers and sisters to come alongside me and demonstrate faith and help me and pray for me when I'm down and I'm weak and snatch me out of my own self-righteousness and all of the things that I fail to put on, my own fear. Because it's not God's. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, right? Strong bodies, sound minds. We want to experience His peace by living a life of prayer, of thanksgiving, and yes, of obedience. That's true worship. What you experienced here this morning is true worship. Living a life in prayer and communion and praise and worship, in obedience, the testimonies. That's where God is just, wow, those are my kids. Not because we come in here and give them some religious feedback. It's because of what you do daily in your lives. Philippians 4, 6 to 8. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. How do we experience that? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything. Here's a way. But in everything, like what we just talked about, out in the grocery store, out at the gas station, at your home, at the gym, wherever you are, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, the need at the time, what you need for the moment, be made known to God. It's all there. It's supplied for you. And the peace of God, which surpasses anything that you could understand, your comprehension, will guard your heart. It will not only protect you, it'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Because right then the monkey thoughts come in. I'm not going to go out there at that guy and give him a hug because of what it might look like. I'm not going to go to that lady and tell her that, you know, somebody's got headaches and stuff like that because of what it might look like. God will guard your heart and He'll guard your mind and He'll give you the confidence and He'll take what He's deposited in you and you will be at the end of your rope and you'll crucify yourself and say, God, whatever you want to do. And the peace of God will transcend your understanding and it'll come out and you'll go, wow. And the bottom line is whether they respond or not respond, it doesn't matter because that's God's part. He's in you. He's the one who's got to come out. When you come out, you'll screw it up. Finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right. I mean, this is common sense. Whatever is pure and whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence and if anything that's worthy of praise, He's saying give it. Dwell on it. Share it. Experience it. Be overwhelmed. Let the rivers of living water exude from you. They're there. But you got to put it on. You got to take the step of obedience. You got to take the step of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things that are expected, so that you expect it, you do. You go. You go, just do it, knowing God's going to show up. You trust Him that His word is true. So we must exercise, is what I'm trying to tell you, these things, folks, because the world is only going to consist of fear as we approach the return of our Lord. Fear is the only thing the world will offer you. The only way that you're going to experience this peace is the peace that you put on that God's deposited within you to withstand. And when you can't stand, stand. Luke 21, 26 and 27. Men fainting. This is the end time. Men's the times we're living in. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens might be shaken. Will be shaken. Verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So just before the return of the Lord, there's going to be fear in the hearts and minds of the world. Not the people of God. We're going to be the most glorious and powerful and resistant as ever. We should be. If we're putting it on and doing what He's asking us to do. But the world is going to be full of fear. So if you're still attached to the world and you're dependent on the government and you're dependent upon, you know, your work and your job and all the things that come along with that and other people and medicines and all that kind of stuff, yeah, they're adjuncts to help take your symptoms away. But for the cause, you got to go to the one who made you. Isaiah 57, 20 to 21. But the wicked are like the tossing of the sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. Verse 21. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Let me tell you something. When you participate in the deeds of the wicked with no repentance and none of that stuff, you're not going to experience God's peace. Because you're going to receive the same fruit that the wicked receive. Yeah, you're saved and still going to heaven, but you're going to experience the same distress that the world is if you are practicing things that the world practices. Because he says there's no peace for the unrighteous deeds and wicked. You're not going to have peace in that. You're not going to find it. So let's finish today with how to put on these shoes. I call it the experience. We all have read about the peace of God. We know we have peace with God. Now we know we have to put on the peace of God. How do we do that? How do we experience it? We can preach it all day long, but how do we experience it? Well, first, as I said, much like the wicked, when unconfessed and unrepented sin is in your life, in the believer's life, you're not going to experience the peace of God. You're just not going to do it. You can't have peace in the midst of those kinds of circumstances. We're not of the world. We have to have that peace that God has placed within there. And trust him that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he's here for the duration, that we have a place reserved for us in heaven, and no matter what may be happening to us here, he still loves us as sons and daughters. We're his favorite. We have been made in his image. He sent Jesus to die for us. That's enough right there. Until David confessed his sins, the joy of his salvation didn't return, remember? Peace and joy evaded David when he was in sin. And he's a believer. He's going to heaven, but yet peace is not going to come when we're participating in those kinds of deeds. Psalm 51:12, David tells us himself. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your deliverance, your salvation of me, and sustain me with a willing spirit. A willing spirit to do what? To do right. He had chosen to do wrong, and he knew and he was experiencing the fruit of wrong. Circumstances, things happened. His son died. And we think, well, you know, maybe just light circumstances, God. People die every day for being out of the will of God and disobeying. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but circumstances happen. If you jump off of a 50-story building to tempt God, you're going to die probably. God's not a genie and a magician to show up in your life and just give you everything that you want. You have to hear his voice and respond. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we don't have any unconfessed and unrepented sin in our life, because if we do, that's probably why you're not experiencing peace. Take a deep healing class with Teresa, like she did with me last night. We need it every day. We're not beyond it. We're not above it. We're not so mature we can't use it.
That's right.
We're experiencing life every day, and new things come in, and we got to toss new things out, some of them. Folks, if you don't know by now, righteousness, peace, and joy go together. When you're walking in the will of God and the righteousness is there and stuff like that, you're going to have peace. And when you have peace and you're walking in righteousness, you can't help but smile because you know the Father's pleased. You got joy. And the last time I checked, righteousness, peace, and joy is called the kingdom of God. You want to experience the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? Walk in righteousness. Put on righteousness. You've got it. Walk in peace. You can, because you've got it. Walk in joy. You can, because the one who has is joy lives within you. Romans 14:17, so that you think I'm not making this up. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not your pleasures. It's not working in this world to just get what you think you need. But it's obedience. It's righteousness. It's peace. It's joy. In the Holy Spirit, not the way the world gives it to you. So what? Peace is one of the fruits of Spirit-filled living. That's how I can summarize it. Peace is one of the fruits of Spirit-filled living. So, how do we do this? unconfessed, unrepented sin, walking out of the, you know, righteousness, walking out of that joy, you know, having those things hanging over you, so that is one way that you won't experience this peace. That's one way not to put it on. When you're walking in those things, now you're putting it on. Now you're putting it on. Secondly, we're talking about how to experience the peace. So get rid of any unconfessed and unrepented sin. Secondly, to put on the shoes of peace, we must be in the habit of personally meeting with God. Why? Because Scripture says God is peace. It's his character. It's his nature. When you're in the presence of God, because God is peace, you can't have nothing but peace. If he's there and he's in your presence, the God of peace, the God who is peace, getting in his presence will do it. That's why we worship. That's why we pray. That's why we give thanks. That's why we fellowship with one another and encourage one another. Because when God's present, there is peace. It says it. It's where we'll find it. 1 Corinthians 14:33. If you don't believe me, for God is not a God of confusion.
That's right.
He's a God of peace. So we got to get in his presence if we want that. As in all the churches of the saints. Wow, that means all the churches of those who trust in Jesus Christ, we can experience that when we get into his presence. Not in some religious service, but his presence. Philippians 4:9. The things you've learned and received and you've heard and you've seen in me, and we have through the Scriptures, right? Practice these things. Walk these things out. Put them on every day in the morning when you get up to decide to do what's right. And no matter what your circumstances, trusting that God will be with you. And he says, then the God of peace will be with you. See, he recognizes it when you pray. When you're doing these things, he recognizes it and he honors it and he backs it up with his exousia and his dunamis. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We quote it all the time in For Your Health. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. What does that mean? Wash you. Clean you up. Get you moving in this righteousness, peace, and joy. He's given us exercises to do. We're in his gym. May himself sanctify you entirely. He wants you covered, body, soul, and spirit. He wants your emotions sound. He wants your body healthy. He wants your mind and your spirit, man, charged like a battery ready to roll. Like we heard this morning, when you're out in the public and you're just ready to spread Jesus wherever you may be needed. In a discerning manner, not like a fruitcake. That's not the kind of fruit we're talking about. The Holy Spirit uses wisdom and discernment, not idiocracy. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he wants you to get started. Don't wait for the rapture bus. Put it on. Start exercising it. Let thy kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that when he comes back, he recognizes everyone that's his. No problem. And the angels come and they take us and they bring us home. And what are the rest doing? The wicked doing? It says they're shaking in what? Hiding in rocks, shaking in fear. Because righteousness, peace, and joy in its fullness have come. And they've rejected it. We don't need to experience hell on earth. We don't have to.
That's right.
Exercise the things, because the world is going to consist of fear, as we said before. So quit looking for peace in money, pleasure, the world, etc. We're only going to experience true peace in proportion. Listen to this. We will only experience true peace in proportion to the room that we give the Holy Spirit in our heart. We're only going to experience true peace, the peace that Jesus talked about, in proportion to the room that we give the Holy Spirit to take over our heart. David had a heart after God. He experienced true peace. Because even when he murdered and committed adultery, he returned to the Lord. He repented. And the Holy Spirit was with him. And he was a man after God's own heart. Even with a resume like that. I don't know what your resume is, but there's nothing that God can't forgive.
Right.
When he sees a repentant, confessed, loving, warm individual come before him and say, I've died to self and you're mine now, God. Use me. A sense of quietness abides in the heart of a person who has yielded and surrendered control to the Holy Spirit. You've seen them. A true sense of quietness abides in the heart of a person who has yielded and surrendered to the control of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, so we get rid of sin. That'll get rid of some of that stuff that makes you uneasy in your life. Getting into the presence of God is the second thing that we have to do. And thirdly, we put on peace by meditating and memorizing the Word of God. There's no substitute for that. Psalm 119, 165 says it best. Those who love your law, those who love your law, your commandments, your word, telling us what to do, have great peace. And nothing, this is strong, folks, and nothing causes them to stumble. Nothing causes you to stumble when you meditate upon God's holy word and, more importantly, do. Don't be an effectual hearer only. Be an effectual, James says, doer of my word. And the peace of God will rule in your hearts. Wow. If we don't put the word of God in us, we have nothing to call upon when we're under attack.
That's right. That's true.
God's peace is a direct result of the word of God operating in us. Let there be light. Let there be peace. Peace be still. Everything had to obey because it came from within Jesus, because it was God's holy word. He was God. He was speaking his word, and everything had to bow, and everything had to obey. That's why there should be no sickness, because cancer and every other kind of disease must bow at the name of Jesus. But Jesus was walking in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. He'd put it all on and obedient in all things. We're only seeing it in part because we're only in part putting on all these things, if you know what I mean. We're half dressed. Some of us are three quarters dressed. Some of us are a quarter dressed. I don't think anybody's fully dressed yet. He says one day we all will be. But we ought to be looking and seeing what we're missing, because the more we put on, the more we're going to experience. So the third thing is meditating and memorizing the Word of God. To have perfect peace, we have to meditate on the Prince of Peace. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your anxiety. How can that happen? You cast all your anxiety on him, because he what? He literally and really, as we've seen today in everybody's lives, we've had testimony, he really does care for us. He's real. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind, those that are purposed, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because we trust in him. He trusts in you. The writer is telling us, Isaiah, he's telling us, you keep your minds fixed on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and you keep your trust in him. You have nothing to worry about. And lastly, let God's peace rule. So we got to get rid of that sin, right? We got to get into his presence. We got to get into the Word of God. And then the fourth way that we put this peace on. And lastly, you have to let God's peace rule in your decision making. Listen now. You have to let God's peace, the word is rule, in your decision-making. Colossians 3:15. What a way to close this sermon out. I love this part. It's my favorite part. I don't know why, because I'm into sports. Let the peace, put on the peace, let the peace of Christ, okay? Peace with God, we got that. Now we need to let the peace of Christ rule. Rule, you know what rulership means? In your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. And we need to be thankful for it, for the opportunity to let peace rule when it sometimes doesn't want to rule. Scripture says, let it rule. The word picture, and this is, again, this is where it's wonderful to get into the Scriptures and get into the Greek. It's a more colorful language. It describes things better than our English ever could. The word picture is of an umpire calling decisions. I want you to get that. Let God's peace rule in your heart. Be the umpire of your heart. You are the one who's been called to be the umpire. And this is what's cool. All your decisions. Whatever you decide to do or not to do, decide. Make the decision. You're the umpire. That peace will rule your decision. Peace! Be still! How about the umpire? You're out! No, I'm not out! I'm not out! No, no, there's no way I'm out! Get out! And he puts his chest up there, and he continues to argue. No, I'm not out! No, I'm not out! And then he says what? Go! You're ejected. You're out of the game. The umpire rules. You don't argue with the umpire. You're fined. You're thrown out. You participate no more. When the umpire says you're out, you're out. When the umpire says peace, be still, the water becomes calm.
Yes.
Because Jesus is our greatest mediator. He's our greatest umpire. He's called the shots. What he says goes no matter what. Doesn't matter how much you argue or what you believe or anything like that. He's the umpire. Devil's done. He's out. I said peace, be still. I don't care what your rage is. I don't care how far the waves are coming over the top of your head. Where you are, I say he's out. Now claim it yourself. Agree. Step into the dugout. The game's not over. It's one out. And we need to win out. That's what he's saying. Let peace rule in your heart. Then you can sleep in the midst of difficulties. No matter what the score is. You've been called out. You're 10 runs behind. Doesn't matter. I know who wins. It's a rerun. We may be down 12 to nothing. You maybe feel like you're down 100 to nothing right now. But at the end of the game, it's 101 to 100.
That's right.
We win. How do I know? We've been declared the umpire. Oh, I was safe. No, sorry, you're out. This game's going in this favor over here. Why? They're the better team. They're the better team. We're the better winning team. We practice righteousness. We practice peace. We practice joy. That's what God's all about. That's what he wants to see as a result. So he says, those are the teams that will win. You can sleep in the midst of the storm and shout, peace be still, like an umpire, like Jesus, our umpire. Folks, when Satan tries to steal your peace, be reminded of Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And one more scripture after this. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. That's when we get into the presence of God. And sometimes when you get into the presence of God, you're shaking at your knees. It's like when Paul was given directions to go into a harlot town in Corinth, where there was all kinds of prostitution rings going on and all kinds of thievery and everything like that. And God says, go plant a church. And yet, the peace of God ruled in his heart, and he went. And praise God he did, because we got 1 and 2 Corinthians right here to write all about it. When I saw him, I fell as a dead man. And sometimes you do that too. He placed his right hand on me. That right hand of authority, power, peace, joy. Saying, do not be afraid. Because you know, he knows exactly how you're feeling when you're coming to him half the time. I am the first and I am the last. And I am the living one. And I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And he says, and here's the key. I have the keys of death and Hades. You're no longer son of perdition. You're no longer sons and daughters who have been rejected by your father. You have a right standing before the father. You're his sons and daughters. He loves you this much. Now go out and practice what the father of the house has asked us to do out of his love. Folks, it says here in our last scripture, nothing can pluck us out of God's hands. Listen to me. Nothing can pluck you out of your daddy's hands. John 10, 27 to 29. We're a sheep, you know that, right? When you accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, no matter what your behavior is like, when you accept him like that, he'll clean you up. He cleans his fish up when he catches you, right? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Better than you know yourself, folks. And they do what? Because we got to keep remembering that God, a God of mercy and grace and love and all that. He's also a just God. They follow me. You've been declared a son of the house. You got, okay, dad's speaking. You can't go walk in another direction and go walk in somebody else's house, start serving them, and just say, oh, well, you know, I got my residence over here. Follow them. And I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish. You will never perish, folks. You may take your last breath on this earth, but the very next breath you take in is going to be in the presence of Christ, your Savior. And no one, he says, no one, zippity-doo-dah, zilch, zero, nada. No one, no demon in hell, no angel, no force in heaven on earth, nothing will snatch them out of my hand. As if anything created, anything anywhere could possibly go up to God and say, I'm taking that from you. Give me a break. Give me a break. What reassurance. What peace. Folks, last quote. Worry is like a rocking chair in that it gives us something to do, but it does not get us anywhere. Amen? God's got us, folks. And it truly, the song speaks it all. It is well.